AIDS epidemic center of the world. At least you're close to it. And we have a lot of students who suffer from AIDS. I'd like to devote this half of the talk today to healing the AIDS community. And I'd like to enlist your help. So let's have an AIDS meditation to get them out of their problem and for us to understand how to do it. It's part of the work, and it's part of your growing consciousness. We want to see, number one, that it's a non-real problem. Even though they are suffering and dying, we have to see the truth that that which God did not make does not exist. And God certainly did not make AIDS. So first, we are learning that AIDS is a non-existent problem. Those suffering from it are suffering only from the belief that it is real. And the community which is suffering with them is equally convinced that it is real, because they can be infected and they can die to an unspiritual person. The statement that it is unreal is unreal. But that's how the healing is accomplished first, in the knowing of its unreality. You don't have to heal AIDS, and we won't try to heal AIDS. We will heal the group consciousness which gives birth to AIDS. We will never stoop to individual healing. We'll remove the force which projects the problem into widespread experience for those who do not have the resources to stand in the infinite consciousness. You and I know the nature and the power of Christ. And you and I must find our center. In Revelation, the most important part of it is that you go to Christ for truth, for the will of the Father, for divine law. And Christ is in each one of us. No matter what you think, you are the house of Christ. So you go deep within. And you release your human consciousness. To that Christ which healed thousands in the visible world, and which can always heal thousands in the invisible world. You're going to Christ within yourself. Your neighbor is going to Christ within his or herself. But you're all going to the one Christ through yourself. And you're saying to Christ, made a perfect immortal being. We are seeing the perfect immortal being that you made. The being who has no mortal problem, because he is not a mortal mortal being. He is immortal. And then, although we may talk a bit, we're going to wait for the inner click, even while we're talking. Going to leave this individual out there in this world. We should direct our conversation to the Father. Father, we're not speaking about human flesh. We're not healing human flesh. We're seeing thy child as you made him, in the perfection of being, as divine light. Standing outside the scope of time, in the eternal, in the everywhere, we are recognizing your omnipotence in the kingdom of God, where he resides. We are recognizing that he cannot be sick in your kingdom. It is governed by divine law, that there is no place else to live in. Each so-called AIDS victim is the invisible Christ. As perfect as Christ can be, living in a false sense of self, and when the Spirit permits him to live in the true sense of self, AIDS will vanish. It can vanish in 50,000 as well as in one. When each AIDS victim begins to see that as he is the perfect image and likeness of God, that he has no physical body, that his essence is pure spirit, then the power of spirit, which is always in a state of perfection, will reveal the perfection of that being. When he is no longer declaring God is absent, when the presence of God is a fact, when the love of God is a fact, when each of the keys to the kingdom is established, all that will be seen be the fullness of Christ in action. Now, if there's a me that is thinking these words or saying them, that's one me too much. If the Christ mind of you comes into play, and the human mind crawls into a corner, if the soul of you sheds its light, I feel a healing right now. to repeat the necessary parts of this meditation so that we can all know what we have accomplished. You have expressed yourself with no thought. You have not tried to say, "Dear Father, do this and do that." You have merely brought your case to the Father. You have stated it briefly, what the problem is. You have left it in the hands of omnipotence, divine omnipotence. And you have recognized that divine omnipotence is everywhere, so that you have not only healed this boy here and this boy there, but you have healed a false concept everywhere. You have stated that the perfection is already established, and your only purpose in coming into this meditation is to shine the light of truth, so that false concepts will vanish. That truth will not be blocked. That perfection will make itself known. I know we have had healing. I don't know how much, but a lot. Take this tape home and study it. What to do and what not to do. You'll find that your capacities to heal are just as strong as anyone else if you remember several things. One is, no person is a healer. It must be the I of you. Which is made possible by the absence of any human or material thoughts or concepts. And the pure I of you, simply holding the truth, knowing the perfection is there, is already established before the foundations of the world, merely waits for what Joel always called a click. Sometimes it comes in many ways, and it isn't a click when it happens. It may be a million different things, but if something happens in you that you're aware of, and it's done. The reason I'm going into a little detail on it is because this was for AIDS, but you're going to find there are other problems. They're fairly similar, regardless of what they are. You've always got to recognize the non-reality of it. Because you can't bring healing to something that is a problem. Your healing is to restore it by removing the belief that it's there. Now, when two or more are gathered together, that really means that you, as the healer, can take that individual who's being healed into his true Christhood, so that there's Christ in you and Christ in him. Those are the two or more. And you don't need another soul to help you. It wouldn't matter if you had 10 or 20. If you are the Christ and recognize his Christ, then you're in the one Christhood, and there are two or more. I still feel the Spirit. That's why I'm reluctant to walk away. Individuals find no capacity to help themselves in most cases. And this is where love plays a part. Divine love has to express through somebody, preferably through those who are aware of the healing process. And this is a kind of condition that you don't need anybody to come up to you and say, do it for me. It's so widespread that it's kind of like a rainy season or an unrainy season or a crop control. It's so widespread that it's in the public domain. So you'll find that your healing works whether you're asked for not for help or not. I want to thank you for that work on this healing, and we might be able to report to you sooner than you think what happened. Although we were not working for one individual, we were working for a community. I suppose I can't find out what happened in the community, but maybe some of you will find a few things happened in your experience. We want to use our knowledge, our spiritual knowledge, to bring people into the kingdom of God. That's what we're here for. And the quickest way, or the best way, to get them into the kingdom of God is to live it in the kingdom yourself. If you're found out of consciousness, you're not helping anyone. And when you're found in consciousness, you're automatically helping. You don't have to say a word. We are not only here to improve our knowledge or our health, but many of us are here just for the purpose of bringing people into the kingdom who want to go there. We don't have to take them out of their homes. We have to feed them spiritual truth silently and sometimes with words. There's no more rewarding enterprise because your own consciousness increases in spirit as you do the work. You're helping others, but you're helping yourself. Now, when we come back to Revelation, we see that Jesus has done some amazing things. It isn't an accident that people didn't discover the power of Revelation. I'm sure he could have phrased his revelation more plainly if he thought it was wise, but he always spoke on earth with a double tongue. Milk for the babes, meat for the adults. And that process still continued, so that his words were veiled to those who would abuse them, those who would adulterate the message, and they were even veiled from those who would benefit by the message, but were in a state of mortality so deep that they needed the experience to work themselves out of it. Actually, it isn't known, but during the first 1,000 years of that message, there were people who were helping people on this side from that side. And although we may seem to be one of the few who have received the message to a degree, that message was given to thousands from the spiritual side of life. And it's now beginning in the second 1,000. It's now beginning as the year 2000 approaches. There was silence for 1,000 years, you see. And now we're coming back again with the message, with the truth, that will make people free. This isn't called the Age of Spirit for nothing. Spirit is being released from its invisibility into our world, and we're going to see much more of the Spirit in its functioning in the human race as the human race loses its sense of mortality and is lifted up to the understanding that God never made a mortal being. There is no human race. But there are those who have AIDS and other things who think of themselves as mortal beings. And that's probably their problem. There are others who are finding difficulty in the business world who think of themselves as mortal beings. It's not their fault. The revelation of St. John has not been public domain. But as it is released, you will find that what is known as a mortal being today will be known as an immortal being tomorrow. Still walking on the face of the earth, but mortality will change. This is one of the most glorious documents in the history of man. With it, you will find that we have a good deal of power over the AIDS community. I wouldn't be surprised if we find that we have the ability to wipe it out. And all we're wiping out is what does not exist. A group thought. A world belief. It's now in all countries. That's how world thought spreads. And everyone who has it is of the opinion that he's got a physical problem. He has no idea where he's got it from or how to relieve it, except injections. That sort of thing. You don't inject for a world belief. see its nothingness. We're going to continue with Revelation. This has been a sidestep, but it was made necessary by certain conditions. In the first part of the evening, as we approached the world mind, it was the world mind in us that we had to safeguard from. It was the world mind in us which spread its venom, its concept, which spread its death, its disease. Everything on a human level that we'd rather not see in our world is in that world mind. And when we have isolated the locality of all of the evils of the world and realize they are but concepts in the world mind, that is the one area on which we focus. Until the world mind itself is broken and loses its potency, and the effect that it spreads among us is no more. Each of us has that requirement in his life to face the world mind. And so learn about it. Learn that it's not a dragon as it seems to be. It isn't a beast as it seems to be. It doesn't have seven horns and seven of everything else that it seems to have. All it has is your belief, and that's what it works on. And as you drop your belief in the things of the world mind, because all the evil in the world is only in the world mind, and all the evil in the world, you must learn, you can never see it with your eyes. Because what you're seeing is something else. It isn't outside to be seen. It's a belief that is fed into your system. It is a belief that you entertain. It isn't out there. It's something we have in our belief system. That's where we're going to lose it. And it's the same with every other disease. Nothing is out there. I presume you're aware then of the process through which that which is within you appears out there. It's just your eyes see something, but there's one step missing. Your eyes can't see anything until your brain actually makes the identification. Your brain says, this is AIDS. This is an accident. This is a wreck. This is a plane out of the sky. It's in your brain, isn't it? It's not in the sky. It's not out there at all. It's simply something that your brain says is happening. That's the shorthand system. which we identify things. And then because your brain sees an image, we have an idea that all these things are out there, but they're in your brain. We're not healing AIDS in the world. We're healing AIDS in the human brain. And when the image in the brain is not allowed to influence our activity, when we take no thought, and then the brain can't see that image, then the AIDS disappears from outside in the world because it never was there. When your friend has something wrong, you think you're seeing it. No, you're going through the same process. His brain reacts, your brain reacts, and you think you're seeing it out there. You're seeing an image on the brain. I guess you're worried about which one comes first, the image in the brain or that which appears out there. But it first appears on the brain. It never gets out there. And when we heal all these images in the brain, we'll have healed the world of its troubles. We're going to have to prove this, and we will. All the healings will take place within you, and then the world will see those out there who seemingly have no ailment anymore because it disappeared in the brain of the healer. Healing is a very interesting game. And you'll find the power needed is very minimal. We're going to find many things that John brought us in Revelation. Many things that the world has not been able to discuss. But as they become aired to public view, there'll be articles about them, and we'll have more information, and we'll find that all John was doing was listening to the complete story of truth by the Christ. The story of truth that he had revealed and which public looking at it did not understand, but he had left a record in his teaching of everything that he put in the Revelation. Only here he opened it up. Here he said a little more to make it clear, and just those of us who are ready to take it up, to pursue it, we'll do so. There'll be another generation eventually doing it again. But I imagine that we'll be one of the few who begin this new trend of finding the things we have been seeking for in the words of Christ in the Revelation. You should begin to get a new concept of yourself. You are an immortal being made of spirit. You are perfect as your Father, You have no physical structure. That's enough to have no physical structure, no mortality, not even a lifespan, because you have an eternal span. Immortality is eternal.